Ag Bioscience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
It's a new use for soybean oil. So this is incremental use where we're always talking about in the ag industry is moving the pile, right? So this is another demand that we can go and move the pile. So we're going to be able to go and use this technology and the new process that we developed and the modifications we did. We're going to be able to run up to 10% soybean oil with our diesel fuel.
Welcome to Ag Bioscience, the number one podcast in the world for innovation in food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, and agriculture. Welcome back to Ag Bioscience. I'm Kayla Chittister, producer of the podcast, and I am here with Eric Pfeiffer, longtime bud, president of Hoosier Ag Today, and this week's guest host of the podcast. Eric, thank you for A, making your way across the state fairgrounds on this very hot day, and B, for hosting Matt Smorch on this week's episode of the podcast.
It's my pleasure, and you know, they've got golf carts around here. They just don't trust me with one, but I did get a ride.
You did get a ride. That's great. This was an amazing episode.
It was really interesting. The things that Country Mark has been doing for a long time, it's really incredible. And this new expansion that they have at their Mount Vernon facility, really excited to hear from Matt about all of this in the years to come, because this isn't just a now investment. It's an investment for the future. And I know they had a big ribbon cutting and everything here not too long ago. He's excited about it, you can tell. And I know that their farmer owners are excited about it too.
Now, he is an engineer by trade, so the word molecules gets thrown around quite a bit here. If you want technical and you want innovation in this episode, you are going to get it. But at the core of this, what is really fascinating, and I think something that you had maybe a chance, or Hoosier Ag Today had a chance to talk about originally at the ribbon cutting, was this is a lot of value for the farmer as well. This is farmer focused innovation as well as a bio innovation story.
Matt, he touches on it and he talks about it in the perfect sense, because this is what, you know, the folks at the Indiana Soybean Alliance talk about. It's about moving the pile. Yep. And this investment helps move that soybean pile. So farmers are absolutely going to be excited about this, because they'll take any opportunity to move that pile.
Investment in Indiana, that Mount Vernon facility continues to give dividends down there. It's amazing.
This is really what economic development is in Indiana. When you look at what we're doing at the state level, yes, we bring companies in. Yes, we do a lot of the things that the Agrinovis helps with in doing that. But it's taking the existing companies and adding value to what they're already doing. And Country Mark is on the leading edge there.
Yeah, well, we can't thank you enough for coming, Eric, for having this conversation with Matt. It was a delight, and we hope you guys enjoy it as well. Watch, listen, subscribe. Please enjoy this conversation with Matt Smorch, CEO of Country Mark, on Ag Bioscience.
Matt, thank you so much for joining us on Ag Bioscience today. And, you know, I'm excited to talk about your recent project completion down in Mount Vernon. Sure. We're going to get to that, but let's just start with kind of a high-level overview of what you're doing at Country Mark, a farmer-owned cooperative that's bringing energy into the portfolio. Just give us a high-level overview.
Sure. Well, first, thanks for having me on this. And the venue is great, being here at the Indiana State Fair.
No better place, right?
No, this is a great day. It's a great day. No, at Country Mark, I mean, what we're here for is that we're really here for our members. And we're here to go and make sure that we're supplying quality fuels and services for their businesses. We're here to help make them successful. That's really our focus. We do services from risk management and supplying quality fuels and doing all of those things for our members so that their business and the end user customers have great experiences.
The biofuels industry, it continues to evolve, it continues to grow, and you joined this podcast near the end of 2023 and talked about that opportunity. Where would you say that biofuels have evolved and since that time, and kind of what is the opportunity now?
Yeah, I tell you, there's been a lot of changes in the last couple of years, for sure. I think the last time I was on the podcast was when policy was driving, like California had come out with this electric vehicle mandate, and they had really gone and started to threaten liquid fuels as a whole, including biofuels. And recently that policy got kind of struck down in Washington, which is good. So that's a positive for liquid fuels and biofuels as a whole. But from a biofuels perspective, there's been a lot more investment in the industry to invest in producing renewable diesel. And so not necessarily biodiesel, but renewable diesel. And then there's also been a lot of movement on sustainable aviation fuel to replace jet fuel for airplanes. And so I think that it's slow moving. It's, you know, they're starting to pick up speed on the biofuels and more uses and things like that. But it's a lot more than it was a couple of years ago, at least the volumes and the usage and all that stuff. So I think that for the most part, you know, the ag industry is really part of the energy ecosystem now. And all of the biofuels and stuff are here to stay for a long time.
And Matt, you talk about policy. I do want to ask a follow-up on that. Sure. It's been, you know, for years, kind of this us against them, them against us type of thing. And I think right now, those two industries, the ag industry, the oil industries, for the first time in a long time, they've come together on a lot of this stuff.
Well, and that's the whole thing, is that I think when liquid fuels in general were being threatened by these EV mandates and the ban of, you know, so-called ban of the internal combustion engine, we had to come together because we're all supplying into the same marketplace. So yeah, it was actually really interesting to see oil and ag get together and join forces to go and make sure that the liquid fuels business can thrive well into the future. So yeah, it was a great team effort. And I think with that, there has been less back and forth and contention. And so we're trying to work together more as industries that are going to go and supply quality fuels to consumers.
Matt, I teased it off the top. You've got some big news that you just dropped in Mount Vernon. And really, we want to talk about this and get to the bottom of it, because this is what economic development looks like. This is really what, you know, growing Indiana business looks like, what you've done there in Mount Vernon, and just increasing production of renewable diesel fuel from renewable feedstocks like soybean oil. Walk us through this whole project. I know it was a big one.
Yeah, it was a huge project. And a couple of weeks ago, we had a ribbon cutting down at our refinery in Mount Vernon. What we did, and this is a project that we've been working on for 2-3 years. And what we did is we modified our refinery process where we treat and create diesel fuel. And really this project, it was a $100 million investment. And the project was really had a number of different aspects. The first thing was we wanted to increase our diesel fuel production. And because our members are growing their business, we're a diesel fuel centric company, and so we needed more capacity for diesel fuel. So that was one of the big things on that, so we could supply our members and make sure that we always have the guaranteed supply for them. The other aspect of that is that we, over the years, diesel fuel quality has kind of gotten closer and closer, and we've always had a premium diesel fuel country mark as. But we went and chose a technology that was making our great diesel fuel, we're making it even better. And with the technology that we're using, just from a diesel fuel standpoint, we're going to be able to go and have more power per gallon. We're going to have better control in the winter and still maintain that power. And we're really in high cetane. It's going to be great qualities. And I think that aspect is going to differentiate our diesel fuel in the marketplace. Then the other piece of that, which is really exciting and which you alluded to, is that we're going to be able to go and co-process renewable feedstocks like soybean oil. And we're pretty much going to use soybean oil for the process.
And there's plenty of that to go around.
There's plenty
around
of that
here.
To go around, and there's plenty to go in southern Indiana. But we're going to be able to co-process up to 20 million gallons of soybean oil and create that and make that into renewable diesel. So what that does is it enhances the quality a little bit. And then it also will reduce the carbon footprint of the fuel. It's a new use for soybean oil. So this is incremental use, where we're always talking about in the ag industry is moving the pile, right? So this is another demand that we can go and move the pile. So we're going to be able to go and use this technology and the new process that we developed and the modifications we did. We're going to be able to run up to 10% soybean oil with our diesel fuel. And so it may fluctuate depending on economics and things like that, But it's a fabulous product. We're really excited about it. We haven't put any soybean oil in it yet. We're taking a modification here in the next week to on another process unit to increase the diesel production. It's part of that overall project. And then in September, we're going to be introducing soybean oil, and we're already starting to see the benefits of the new technology. So it's going to be really exciting.
A $100 million expansion at Country Mark in Mount Vernon. How does it position them for the future? We're going to talk about that when we come back. And how appropriate being here at the Indiana State Fair at the Indiana Farm Bureau Fall Creek Pavilion, because Ag Bioscience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
A healthy company is a blessing, but a well-insured company is a necessity. That's why Indiana Farm Bureau offers more affordable health plans for eligible members. Whether you have just a handful of employees or a larger enterprise, building a stable business demands employees who are just as strong and healthy. Indiana Farm Bureau can help with health plans that include medical, dental, vision, and Medicare supplement insurance plans. And you can sign up for membership and apply for an Indiana Farm Bureau health plan any time of year. Indiana Farm Bureau understands the cost of healthcare has rapidly become one of the largest expenses for many small businesses. We invite you to compare our health plans to your current coverage. We're confident you could find significant savings. To learn more about the health plan that's right for you, visit infbhealthplans.com and make the switch today.
Welcome back to Ag Bioscience. I'm Eric Pfeiffer from Hoosier Ag Today, your guest host for this edition of Ag Bioscience, with Matt Smorch from Country Mark. And Matt, we talked about this $100 million expansion there in Mount Vernon. You're a farmer-owned cooperative. Talk about how this investment in your plant, in the community, in the farm community, how does it position Country Mark for years to come?
Yeah, well, it totally sets us up for the future is the overall thing. I will say it was really great when we had our ribbon cutting ceremony here a couple weeks ago. It was great to see the mix of oil industry people. We had business partners. We had Farm Bureau there. We had farmers. We had Indiana Corn and Soy was there. So we had a whole agglomeration of everybody that is in this industry and the liquid fuels industry. And for our members, it sends a clear signal that we're going to be here for the long haul. We don't have billions and billions of dollars to invest. So taking a $100 million investment, which was probably one of the biggest investments we've ever made in the refinery, single investment, to do that investment, it sends a clear signal that we're going to be around for a long time. And we're here to make sure that we can supply quality fuels to our membership and make sure that their businesses are good and that the Indiana farmer is going to have diesel fuel long into the future to be able to do what they love to do, and that's plant and harvest corn and beans. So yeah, I think it's a win for everybody. And then with the incremental use of soybean oil and the new demand, I think that is even a better win for the Indiana farmer.
Now, we're going to get a little deep in the weeds here, but follow us here, okay? You talked about it, Matt, co-processed renewable diesel.
Yep.
What is it? How does it work? I mean, we don't need to get down to the molecules and everything, but if you can, you know, describe some of this, what are the benefits for the end user? What are the benefits for you?
Okay, so now you said molecule first, I think.
I did.
So I'm an engineer, so I get to say molecule now as much as I want. No. So what we're doing, and this is the difference, is that so people are familiar with biodiesel, and biodiesel is a totally different process. And we blend biodiesel into our fuel when people demand it or want it. And we do that at our terminals. The difference with this is that when you take the same feedstock, soybean oil, and what we're going to do is run it through a refinery process, and it changes it differently than what a biodiesel would be. So it's not biodiesel. What ends up happening is that we treat it with hydrogen, okay? And that's what it's called, distillate hydrotreating. Everybody thinks that that's like treating it with water, but it's not. It's treating it with hydrogen. And what we originally did that for was to remove the sulfur out of diesel fuel, okay? Well, you can also use the hydrogen to remove the oxygen molecule out of natural fats and oils. And so that's what we're doing, is that we're going to be able to take that natural fat and oil and run it through our process, use hydrogen to remove the oxygen, and it basically comes out as a very similar molecule, if not the same molecule, as a fossil fuel molecule. So I got to say molecule a lot.
You did, yeah. You stuck it in there.
The
yeah.
interesting thing about this is that the only way that we can, like from an EPA standpoint, and to validate that we're running as much soybean oil as we can, we have to do like a carbon dating on our product to make sure that the new carbon, which is the soybean oil, is at the percentage compared to the old carbon that's in the diesel fuel, the fossil fuel. And it's because it's the same molecule, and it's the only way to differentiate it.
Well, Matt, I appreciate you breaking that down. I did follow it. I'll apologize to Mr. Kaiser, my chemistry teacher. I believe me, I had a lot of help getting through that class, but I followed that. So that's good stuff. I guess the big question is, Country Mark's been around for a while.
Yep.
Why this investment right now?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I guess part of that comes back to the policy. So we've had, and it's the renewable fuel standard. And Country Mark, we've been advocates for renewable fuels since the early 2000s. And we became obligated under the renewable fuel standard to blend renewable fuels. And with all the things that we do, blending ethanol into gasoline, blending biodiesel into diesel fuel, and really what the market realities and what they want the market will buy, we can only blend about half of our obligation. So we've had a headwind with the renewable fuel standard where we've had to buy credits for many years. And it's very expensive, up to $50 million in compliance cost a year for Country Mark. And so when we looked at that and we looked at where the future is going with decarbonization and where the industry is moving, where the globe is moving to trying to lower carbon footprint, we said we have to go and figure out a way to overcome this headwind and at least be on the same trajectory of lowering carbon. So that's really what started it. And the other thing is, like I said before, our members were growing their business with the premium fuels that we're able to provide them. And so we needed to increase our diesel production anyway. So I think all of those things came together at the same time, and we finally found the right solution to hit all of them. And so this is what we chose. And we could do it more efficiently because we're not spending billions of dollars. We spend $100 million, which is still a lot of money for us. But we were able to use the equipment we have today. We already know the technology. We could tweak the technology with a new catalyst that makes higher quality fuel. And we already know, we have the expertise in this. And so that was a big benefit of doing it today.
Now, Matt, great expansion, great things to come from Country Mark. And I hate to sit here and ask you to go ahead and spend the next $100 million. Okay, that's not necessarily where I'm going here. But what is next? What are you excited about that's going to be coming from Country Mark here in the future?
Well, I'm excited about getting the soybean oil in this process unit in September and seeing how everything works, which I think I'm pretty confident that that's going to be a slam dunk. I will say, you know, part of being a cooperative and looking and making sure that our members' businesses are successful is that we got to look towards the future to see what is the next step and what is the next fuel of the future, and then when do we go and make those investments. We're looking at things like blue hydrogen today, which where you would go and produce hydrogen, capture the carbon, and then sequester it in the ground. You could take blue hydrogen and then you could make blue ammonia, which farmers use a lot of fertilizer, use a lot of ammonia. And if you make a blue ammonia where you're sequestering the carbon, it's a lower carbon ammonia, which would help the Indiana farmer lower their carbon footprint in what they're doing from a production ag standpoint. So we're looking at a lot of these, and those are bigger investments than what we've just made today. But we're starting to scratch the surface on doing something that's going to be big and bold, that will be in the realm of going on the trajectory of lowering our carbon footprint, but also still have that synergy with the Indiana farmer and what they're going to need for the future. And I think that we could have, and then you get to hydrogen, we're also looking at things like a standalone renewable diesel processing unit or a sustainable aviation fuel processing unit. And my vision, like in the future, whenever this comes, even if the world tries to totally decarbonize, Country Mark's in a great position to be able to almost create a circular economy with the Indiana farmer, where we could go and use their soybeans for oil, make renewable diesel, and they can still do what they do out in the field. And maybe we can enhance their ability to do it in a low carbon manner with low carbon ammonia. And so those are the types of things that we're looking at. It's exciting. It's frustrating at times because you just don't have any certainty on where things are going.
It kind of sounds like a farmer.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's the same. And that's the great thing about being owned by farmers and having farmers on my board of directors is they know uncertainty all the time. So it's a great synergy, and it's really exciting for the future of Country Mark for sure.
Matt, congratulations on the expansion, and thank you so much for joining us on Ag Bioscience.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
And that does it for this edition of Ag Bioscience. Thank you for tuning in. You can find the Ag Bioscience podcast on video form at agrinovus.com and all the other places. But be sure to join us again on the next episode of Ag Bioscience. I'm Eric Pfeiffer from Hoosier Ag Today. Until next time, stay safe.
Ag Bioscience is a podcast by Agrinovus Indiana, brought to you by Indiana Farm Bureau. Produced by Kayla Chittister and Fabian Rodriguez. Photography and design by Kaylee Verstey. Video by Darren Cooper and 1898 Creative. If you like today's episode, subscribe, rate, listen, and review. Get all episodes of Ag Bioscience online at agrinovusindiana.com.